seated. Get your New Testaments ready. I'm going to read you one verse, and then we're going to get right into things. I want you to keep something in mind. No two people go soul winning the same exact way. You go with Brother Barnes, you go with Brother Joe, you go with Brother Scott, you go with me, you go with Pastor. We're going to do things a little differently. We have our own personality. So it doesn't mean that any one of us are more right than the other. I love what Pastor was saying. There's just certain things that everybody should do pretty much the same. And those were those things he mentioned. That was a super lesson. I'm going to say some things in here that I was not in when he recorded that. I had no idea what he'd be talking about. I was getting nervous there. I was wondering if I had to go back to the office and get another sermon for this evening. Some of what he said, he had mentioned. Now, I'm going to say some things. He's right and I'm wrong in the context if it differs just a little bit. But it's really not even a matter of right and wrong. Some of it is just our approach and our personality. So I want you to keep that in mind as we go through this. 1 Corinthians 14:40, you don't need to turn there. But the Bible simply says, let all things be done decently and in order. Our God is a God of order. You look at creation, you look at our lives, you look at how he structured the church, you look at his word that he's given us. Everything is in order and is neat. And I think God blesses that organization. So one of the most important things, and I'll probably say this again, but let me just say it now. As a soul winner, you need to be organized. Don't use your New Testament as a filing cabinet, all right? I don't carry a big Bible with me. And whether it's right or wrong, I don't know, but here's why I don't do it. It scares people. They see this big old family Bible that's got Uncle Joe, Jim Bob, and all their married dates in it, and all the wedding and funeral dates, and, you know, from 27 years ago, and it weighs 300 pounds. Well, this guy's weird. They feel this sermon coming at them. All right, we want to be effective as soul winners, but also in your New Testament, you know, I've got some contact cards maybe in the back. Usually keep my tracks in my pocket, but be aware of where things are at when you get to the door. Don't be fumbling around and dropping things and, making it as awkward. Be neat, be organized. With your presentation of the gospel, be organized. And that's what we're going to work on this evening. I'm going to show you some things. And I think it'll be a help to you. Let's just get right into it. The plan of salvation. This is the first part of the lesson for this evening, is the plan of salvation. Here's what I do personally. I'm going to tell you what I've done. If you don't have a New Testament here, if your soul winner's New Testament is not here, you can take your Bible, mark it the same exact way, then go home, take your New Testament next to your Bible, and mark it the same exact way, okay? You can write it down on a sheet of paper, however you'd like to do it. But I'm going to show you what I do, what a lot of us do as soul winners. Now, there are some verses that you use all the time, and there's some verses that I only use when necessary. Remember, I treat that this part of this is I worked for True Green for a few years, and I'm a part of me is a salesperson, so part of it I use for soul winning. I treat them like they're 5 year olds, not in the context that oh I'm high, you're cute, how are you, what's your name, with their attention span. You got to respect that attention span. There's only so long in a busy life with a stranger coming to your door that you have. There's a deadline. It might be 2 minutes. It might be 35 minutes. You don't know what's going to happen. The phone call, someone comes home, anything can go off. It's like a ticking time bomb. So you need to understand that you don't have all day. I can't go from Genesis to Revelation 22 and show them every verse, okay? I've only got so much time. So part of it is you yielding to the Holy Spirit while you've already prepared away from the door. You've got to practice this before you go soul winning. Stand in the mirror and work, win yourself to the Lord, all right? Talk, look at yourself. Well, I don't like looking at me. What do you think other people got to do? Look at your facial expressions. Practice giving this in order. Have the verses memorized if at all possible. Some of this I might say as we go along, but memorize these. You're talking 5 or 6, 7 verses. Memorize if at all possible, because sometimes you got to flip that New Testament, you got to flip that track around, and you're trying to read upside down. And the more familiar you are with the plan of salvation, the more smoothly it will go. Here we go. Either in the front of your New Testament, which is usually where I write it, because usually I don't look at the back of the a book for something, I look at the front. The very first verse I'm going to write on that very front empty page of that New Testament is 1 John 5:13. 1 John 5:13. This is one of those verses I call only when necessary. Some soul owners will use it every time, which is not wrong. If that's what you got to do, then do it. That's perfectly fine. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that you may know that ye have eternal life. One of my first statements is, after I've asked them if they know 100% for sure, if without a doubt they can go to heaven, well, I just don't know if anybody can know that. That's the cue for me to use that verse. Something very similar to that. If somebody doesn't question if they can know, I usually don't use this verse. Not because I don't like the Bible, but because I realize I have a limited amount of time. 1 John 5:13, for me personally, is not an every door verse. That's if somebody says, well, I just don't know. I just don't know. I'm going to 1 John 5:13. I say, look, well, the Bible tells me right here. And I love this statement as a soul winner. I use it in different spots. Can God lie?
No.
Well, no. This is straight from God. It's not from me. This is not from a church. This is not from what a man said. This is God's word. Get them to see that it's not you, it's not your church, it's not your pastor, your religion, your thoughts. This is God. If you can get them to say that, no, God doesn't lie, usually you got their mind and they're going to start to see, oh, he's for reals. It's not his own statements he's making here. So, in your Bible now, New Testament, go to 1 John 5:13. Because if you use this verse, you're going to want to know where to go next. And that's Romans chapter 3, verse number 10. I take one of, do these New Testaments have bookmarkers? Yes. Usually what I do, because 1 John 5:13 is not an every time verse, I take my bookmarker and I put it in Romans chapter 3, which is the verse you're going to write down next to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Next to 1 John 5:13, take your pen and write Romans chapter 3, verse number 10. Romans 3:10. Romans 3:10. Because as soon as you get done with 1 John 5:13, that's where you're going to go. If you don't need to go there, I go straight to my bookmark. If it makes you feel better, later on, you can take and write Romans 3:10 in the front of your Bible underneath 1 John 5:13. There's another avenue for you to know which place to start. You understand that one is not an every time start. One is the second verse I'm going to go to is the one I'm going to go straight to if they don't need 1 John 5:13, all right? So when you get to Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 10, go ahead and turn there, Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10, Romans 3:10. Next to Romans 3:10, John Acts, Romans. When you get to Romans 3:10, you're going to write Romans 3:23 right across the page. Usually it's on the same page, may not be. Romans 3:10 says, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. The first point we're showing people here is that we're all sinners. That's the first thing I say. I don't tell them I've got a four-point sermon I'm getting ready to give them. I just tell them the first thing you need to know in order to get saved is, number one, that we're all sinners. Romans 3:10. Once I get done reading Romans 3:10, I get to Romans. You're going to write Romans 3:23 next to Romans 3:10. Romans 3:23 is going to get written. Right next to Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'll make statements like this. I don't know about you. I try to be very impersonal. Take as much pressure off the one you're witnessing to and put it on yourself. I'll make statements like this. I don't know about you, but I know I've done some things that I'm not very proud of. I can't tell you the last time I've ever had somebody disagree with me. And I will follow up with the statement, I've sinned and I've personally done things wrong that I'm not proud of. By this point, doing this number, and they're thinking of all the things they did today wrong, and they don't disagree with you. Take the pressure off who you're talking to, put it on yourself. Have you ever sinned? Nobody likes to admit that they're wrong. But if somebody realizes that, oh, he's just like me, it makes it a little bit easier to cope with. Next to Romans 3:23, I want you to write down Romans 6:23a. That A indicates you're only going to use the first part of the verse. If you look, once you've written Romans 6:23, go ahead and go to Romans 6:23, and I want to show you something. You'll see that after we're sinners, the next thing they have to realize is that there's a penalty for sin. For the wages of sin is death. That's A. I'm going to stop right there. That word wage, and I'm going to kind of give you some statements along the way that I use as a sojourner. That word wage is kind of like a paycheck. I have a job, I get paid. Because I worked, I get paid. I will sometimes use a scenario. I'm driving down the road, and I'll just go straight into it. I'm driving down the road. I'm going too fast, and I get the blue and light special. Usually they'll laugh, and yeah. I said, what's going to happen? I'm going to get a ticket. Why did I get that ticket? Because I broke the law. You sinned, you broke the law, there's a payment. There's a ticket that comes along with you breaking the law. I will then, at this point, say, well, what was that penalty for my sin? Well, the Bible says here, for the wages of sin is death. There's a physical death, but there's a second death that the Bible talks about. Now, this is where you want to make sure you do it in the right order. There's usually a space after a verse. Is there a space right above Romans 6:23 after Romans 6:22? Is there a little space there? Right in that little space, Revelation abbreviate, R-E-V. Don't try to write Revelation, you'll run out of page. R-E-V 20, 12 through 15. Because that's where I'm going next. Revelations 20, 12 through 15. Some would count this as an only necessary, like if it's necessary. I don't always use it. But for new soul winners, I recommend you do use it. It helps get the point across of that penalty for sin. Sometimes I'll quote it. A lot of times you need to take them there. When you look at Revelations chapter 20, when you look at Revelations chapter 20, you will see that the last verse really is a focus. But the reason I like this verse is because some people think that they're good people, which I think everybody generally thinks good of themselves. I haven't met very many people that say, well, I'm a bad person. When you look at this this verse here, it shows that we're all in the same boat here. We're all sinners. And it says in verse number 14 and 15, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you're not saved, you're going to go to hell. Now, that's a bold statement. And we'll get to that in just a minute when we get to the how to wrap things up here. Next to, right underneath Revelations 20:15, write Romans 6:23b. Romans 6:23b. Because you're going to go right back to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. You're going to go right back to that same verse. And I always like statements like, oh, that's the hard part, that's the bad part, that's the negative. Or I don't use the word depressing, but that's the bad part. I said, and I'm reviewing as I'm going, we know we're a sinner. We know there's a price on sin, but here's the good part. Look at the rest of Romans 6:23, but that's a conjunction. I'm not telling them this, I'm talking to you as soul winners. That means there's something better coming. There's something else attached to this. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What was that gift? I love that statement. What was that gift? That gift was Jesus Christ. Right below Romans 6:23, below that verse, write John 3:16. Whether you turn there or whether you quote it, I try not to flip pages as much as possible. I will quote John 3:16 100% of the time. I don't hardly ever leave the book of Romans. I will to go to Revelations if and when I do go there. And I will not go to John 3:16. I will quote it. That's one verse that every Christian should have memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What was that gift? That gift was God's Son. Remember that ticket I got earlier for speeding? That ticket, I didn't tell you, was $500,000 and I can't pay it. How foolish would it be for me to not accept a gift from somebody that said, I'll pay that for you? Jesus has already paid your ticket for sin. I'm making a relation to that penalty, to them being sinners. It's already been paid. We live in a good, hard-working area. A lot of mountain folks don't like free things. They want to work for it. They got to be good to get it. And one of the hardest things in a country area and in an area that has a work ethic is to get them to see that they can't pay for it. They can't be good enough to get it. And sometimes you stress this more than you stress the penalty and the payment. Or I'm sorry, the penalty of sin. They know where they're going. Everybody knows where you're going if you're not saved. That they know that. That's not hard to convince them of. You got to get them to see that they need somebody other than themselves. Yes. And I am liberal with statements like, and I will say this two or three, four, five, depending on the conversation throughout the conversation. It's not church. It's not getting baptized. It's not giving to. It's not giving money. It's not being a good person. It's not. And I will list a few things like that over and over and over. Especially if you've heard, well, I go to the Catholic Church, or I've gone to church my whole life. Grandma took me to church. Grandma's buried out behind this church. I've been going there forever. You hear statements like that. I'm not saying they're not saved, but you got to make sure they understand that it's not that going to church. Well, God saved me when I was five. Oh, that's good. Well, then you find out they were in a car accident and they didn't die. And they see that as God saving them. He loves me, so he's going to take me to heaven because he saved me physically. Oh, I had a traumatic experience. I almost had a heart attack, or I did, and I almost died. I had a stroke. And the list goes on of what trauma they've been through, and they think that because they made it through that, they're going to make it through into heaven because of God loving them. God does love them, but they need to realize there's a difference between, and that's why we looked at that death as not just a physical death. There's also a spiritual death. And they need to realize they not need just be saved physically from that trauma, but they need to be saved spiritually from the trauma to come if they haven't accepted Jesus Christ. So we're in Romans 6:23. You've just wrote down John 3:16. You've quoted John 3:16. From Romans 6:23, you might then write in the margin next to that verse, if I'm dealing with the same book, I don't always abbreviate, but for you, you might, Romans is abbreviated R-O-M, abbreviate Romans 10, 9 through 10. Romans 10, we're going to go to Romans chapter number 10, verses 9 through 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, Brother Juan asked me a very interesting question last week or 2 weeks ago. Because we got to see somebody get saved, and I made a statement to him. I said, I'm going to pray with you. You don't need to pray out loud. I don't need to hear you. That's not what's important. It's between you and God. And I prayed with this individual, and Brother Juan walked away. He goes, well, what about Romans chapter 10, verse number 10, where it says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation? And I said, Brother Juan, that's a good question. With the mouth confession is made. When we're praying, who are we, what's the key word? Talking to. Who are we talking to when we pray? Jesus. I can show you many verses in the Bible where people prayed but didn't say words, but God heard them. That's the confession that Christ is talking about. I, as a soul winner, I have seen my, I don't really use people's statistics, okay? But I've seen my percentages go up as a soul winner of people getting saved when I did not force them to pray out loud. When I get to the end and say, hey, do you believe you're a sinner? You realize that there's a penalty on sin? Jesus paid that price. Would you be able to accept that? Yes, I'm going to pray with you. I didn't ask them, can I pray with you? No, I don't want to pray with you because they don't like spiritual things with other people. They spirituality is a private thing for most people. I would like to pray with you. Now remember, it's not the words that make you get saved. It's not spoofle dust. You can say something else, but you need in your heart, you need to realize that you're believing in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He arose again. He paid for the payment, and you're accepting him. And things like that are statements I'm going to use to draw in that net. And verse number 13, if below number 10, if you want to draw an arrow, or if you just simply write Romans 10:13, that's just a couple verses down. That's the last verse I'm going to use as a soul winner in this process, is Romans 10:13. If you want to draw an arrow, if you want to, if you just want to write Romans 10:13, right below Romans 10:10 is fine. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that word, whosoever. And I don't always do it, but frequently, for whosoever. That means me, that means you. And if I got a partner, this is my partner. That's anybody in the world. That's you. Shall call upon the name of the Lord, and I'll get them to look at it. I say, what does the last three words say? Shall be saved. And I'll go back and say it again. Can God lie? No, God can't lie. So what does this mean? And I'm talking to the individual I'm witnessing to. Remember, he said that we need to realize we're sinners. We need to realize that there's a penalty on sin. We need to realize that he paid the price. And what does Romans 10:13 say? Shall be saved. That means if you are willing to accept what he did and not what you're trying to do, you can go to heaven. And at that moment, we are ready to get into the prayer. Now, I have got another page and a half, literally. I did not realize how long it would take to get through this. I underestimated the time. We're going to go soul winning on Saturday. I'm going to use that travel time to give you the second part of this. The first part was the plan of salvation. Homework before Saturday is for you to go home, practice flipping the pages. Practice reading the verses. You don't have to have it memorized to go soul winning. It's going to take time. It's going to, some of us have been doing this for 20 years, 15, 10 years. Some of you have been doing it for 3 years. Some of you will be doing it for 3 minutes by that point. And you may not talk that day. Just because you come Saturday doesn't mean you're going to talk. But practice. Every day, take 2 or 3 minutes. 2, 3, 5 minutes, beginning of the day or end of the day, whatever works for you. Sit down and practice going through that plan of salvation. Get it smoothly done. All these other things that we'll teach you will come later. If there's a verse you want to write down, well, what about good works? People really, really, really like their works. They like being a good person. A side verse to use, I don't know where you want to put it. I have it in the Romans 6:23 area, but you've already got several verses written there. Maybe you want to write it in the front of your Bible. And so if you get stuck, you can kind of peek. But a verse to help somebody realize that it's not about works is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved. Later on it says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not me that gets, it's for God's grace. It's his gift. It's his works he's already done. This is the plan of salvation, very simply. Number one, we're all sinners. Number two, there's a penalty for sin. Number three, the payment on sin has already been made. The only thing you have to do is trust in what Christ did for you. There's a lot of things, and I have a feeling that I'm not going to have as much time on the bus as I think I will. So to make sure I get it in, give me 2 minutes or less, and I'll be done. When you get through all the way through the plan of salvation, the hardest part of a salesman is to ask for their money. So we don't ask. As a salesman, we don't ask. A good salesman will never one time ask you to buy something. What's your credit card number? And they'll let you give it to them. What credit card would you like to use to pay for that today? That's a good salesman. Because they're assuming you're going to buy it. A good soul winner does not ask if somebody wants to get saved because they don't want to get saved. They're busy. You've just taken 10 minutes of their time. And they've probably said to you, I've got to go. And you may or may not have been able to say, well, I'm almost done. You may have been able to keep them there a little bit longer. So how in the world do you get them to take that final step? Drawing in the net. Don't ask them if they want to get saved. I will make statements like this. Do you believe that if you're to ask Jesus to save you, that he would take you to heaven? That statement right there is the question that needs to be answered. If they say yes, close your ears and act like you erase this after I say it. I think that's when they get saved. The moment they say, yes, I need Jesus. I think that's when they get saved, personally. Because do you believe that if you're to ask Jesus, he didn't give me? Yes, I believe. Faith is all that's necessary. There's that faith. What's that prayer? That prayer is for them. But we got to get that solidified in their mind. So when we ask them that, yes, I believe, I'll say, great. Remember what Romans 10:13 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Let's call upon the Lord. I'm going to pray with you. I didn't ask, can I pray with you? I said, and I'll make a statement. It's going to be a simple prayer. You can say it out loud. or you can say it in your heart. The most important thing is that you realize that it's not the words that save you. It's believing in your heart and placing your trust in Christ to get you to heaven. Dear Jesus, and I'll begin to pray with them. Very simple prayer. Might be the prayer I've memorized. I don't know if it's the same one. It's on the back track. Sometimes it's the same. Sometimes it's not. But I don't ask them. If they don't want to, they will stop you at any point. And I'm going to get into some of that on Saturday when we get in the bus. It's not going to be a long lecture or sermon. It's going to be very, very simple stuff that will help you as a soul winner.